both at a national level and at the school level. The curriculum needs to prepare learners with a blend of experiences, knowledge and skills that are rooted in Welsh values and Welsh culture. Learners being educated in school in a school in Wales will, over time, develop a relationship with Wales and their own sense of Welsh identity, as well as with the wider world. And that is why every area of learning and experience in the new curriculum is set firmly in Welsh and international contexts, so that learners have the opportunity to understand their own country, its contribution to the world in every part of the curriculum, not just learning about our history. It needs to reflect Wales, its cultural heritage, its diversity, its languages and the values, histories and traditions of its community and all of its people. Now, following on the publication of the curriculum guidance back in January, the focus now has to turn to how we can support you, schools and practitioners across the nation to plan and prepare. I know all schools have already engaged in discussions and thinking about the learning offer in response to the pandemic. And I also know that we've made effective use of Curriculum for Wales guidance in conjunction with the current guidance to find innovative solutions to the unprecedented times in which we're asking you to carry on educating our children and young people. And I'm keen to support this and find innovative ways in which, as a system, we can ease some of the load on schools to create the crucial space that we need at this time to be able to think about planning for the new curriculum. That's why we've already relaxed requirements on schools in a number of ways, not least in respect of the current curriculum laws. And that's also why I'll be making further announcements this autumn on national system-wide expectations and arrangements to support all schools that draws on practitioner and academic expertise harnessed and developed through the process of curriculum development in recent years. Now, I'm not so naive to not understand that there is still much to do to ensure that we're all prepared for curriculum implementation from 2022. But when I look back at what we've achieved since Successful Futures was published in 2015 and the incredible ways that schools have responded to the pandemic and demonstrated how they have put the needs of learners at the forefront, I am confident that working together, we are well placed to achieve these ambitions. So once again, diolch o galon. Thank you so much for being able to join you this morning. And I'll now take some questions before I have to disappear to deal with more COVID-related activity. But thank you so much, Susie, for the invitation.
Thank you so much for that. I'm going to hand over to Amber, who's been taking a look at the questions and is going to put some to you now on behalf of the audience.
Hi, Kirsty. Thank you for being here this morning. I think it'd be really helpful if we just start off with something that's come from a couple of the questions on the chat, which is about training opportunities, that with the new curriculum, there's a lot of really innovative ideas that are coming out. And there's been a couple of questions about what kinds of training opportunities are out there to support this sort of innovative approach, particularly in the light of the COVID restrictions.
Oh, good morning, Amber. Thank you so much. Well, you're absolutely right. Training is going to be crucial. we have to recognise that for some individual practitioners, the requirements of the new curriculum are going to be very different, perhaps to the way that which they've been working. And that might be particularly true in the case of high schools. I think for primary schools, it's a little bit more straightforward because we're moving some of the pedagogical principles of the foundation phase into the 7 to 11 category. But training is crucial. So in the last financial year, we made £15 million available for a Pan-Wales professional learning programme, and we've been able to make additional resources in excess of £9 million available this year. Now, clearly, the way in which that training is going to be delivered is going to have to change radically, not just because of COVID, but I think there are different ways in which we can do professional training. I think in the past, our professional training has been quite old-fashioned. I'm sure that many practitioners amongst us have know the routine of being dragged down to maybe a WJEC event in Cardiff, and people sit in a room and they listen to the sage on the stage all day, and then they're told to go back to their classrooms, and if by magic, their practice will have changed. So we need a much more interactive approach with professionals working with other professionals, over perhaps longer periods of time. Clearly, you know, the way in which we're going to do that is going to be impacted by our ability to get together at the moment. And also, I recognise as well the immense pressure that practitioners are under at the moment is simply getting their schools running on a day-to-day basis. So we're going to have to keep these issues under review, but there are a wide range of opportunities that are being made available by individual local education authorities, by our institutions in higher education who are working closely with us, by our regional educational consortia services, but as well as outside organisations that have a particular area of expertise that they're keen to engage on the curriculum, whether that be, for instance, a Natural Resources Wales, who are keen to develop and work with us on issues about the environment, or whether we're thinking about some specialist organisations who want to help teachers get really ready for our new relationship and sexuality education elements of our curriculum. So there's a whole range of people out there who want to engage with us, and practitioners, and crucially, head teachers have been given the budget to enable practitioners to engage in that learning.
Thank you very much. There's a second question here which has literally just come up on the chat, but I think it's interesting and it sort of feeds into what we've just been talking about, which is about what we do about teacher training, really. So I'll read it word for word because it's literally just stood up. Have the Welsh Government thought about any additional support and scaffolding or leeway that student teachers might need in order to complete their qualified teacher standards this year, as school and staff will be operating under very different circumstances with teaching placements, and meeting the standards could be difficult, particularly when it comes to self-isolation and school cancellations with COVID outbreaks?
Absolutely. This is really crucial, and in many ways we've had a bumper year of people wanting to train as teachers. That's great, but that puts additional pressure on our ability to make sure that the experience that they have during their ITE is as good as it needs to be to put them on a really successful footing for a career educating our children. Now, we're not unfamiliar with some of these challenges because, of course, we had to go into closed schools for statutory purposes, but we were able to ensure that nobody was disadvantaged and flexibility was given to ensure that that cohort of students could complete their studies and gain their QTS. So we're working to understand what the pressures are at the moment. We already know that some of our schools are feeling a bit reluctant to have some ITE students in at the moment because, quite understandably, they're trying to limit the number of adults that they have in their schools. So we really need to have conversations with their schools to make sure that they understand the importance of continuing to offer placements and to be working with their institutes of higher education. But clearly we will need to work with those institutions and with the Education Workforce Council and Welsh Government to ensure that no individual is disadvantaged because they're trying to train at the moment, whilst also recognising we still need to keep the bar. We still need to keep the bar to make sure people have the requisite skills and experiences, because it wouldn't be fair to them to give them QTS without making sure they've had that grounding, because that would make a challenging year, which is your NQT year. It's a challenging year anyway. If you're going into that year, when your IT year has been disrupted, that wouldn't be fair. So we're keeping alive to these issues, and we'll be working with individual institutions to understand what more we can do to support those students.
Great, thank you. And I think finally I'm trying to draw together a couple of ideas that are coming up on the chat. You mentioned the Education for Sustainable Development and Global Citizenship, which was a big part of the previous curriculum, and how that's sort of finding its place in the new curriculum. I guess I wanted to ask something about the fact that with global, because of the fact that we're under so much pressure at the moment, how do we make sure that global learning and education for sustainable development, that all of that still keeps its priority?
Okay, well, actually, I think in some ways the new curriculum enshrines that priority and protects that priority, because each of the areas of learning and experience are given equal status within the curriculum. Now, we know, and secondary practitioners will know especially, that sometimes when planning a curricula in a secondary school, other subjects you know, outside of the core can really be impacted upon. And I understand that. It's because the way in which we've created an accountability system that drives schools to make those decisions. But in the new curriculum and assessment bill, the legal responsibility on a school and the governing body will be to provide a broad and bound curriculum right the way up to the age of 16. And pupils will need to participate in each of the areas of learning and experience and given the opportunities to participate in each area of learning and experience, even if they're not going to sit a formal qualification within that particular area of learning and experience. So that would be the legal requirement. Because in listening to children and young people, you know, they understand more than ever that English and maths is important, but what they need is that broad and balanced curriculum, and they want to engage in these issues. When I speak to young people, they are ferociously political in a non-party political way. They are deeply engaged. They care deeply about issues around what is happening in their community and in the world around them, and they want the opportunity in school to have that space to be able to engage in those subjects. I mean, who knows what we can do in terms of our qualification system? Because, you know, understandably, many people say, well, that's fine, but we want to have some accreditation for that learning. And you'll be aware that Qualifications Wales is currently undertaking a review of our qualification system, which will need to change as a direct result of our curriculum, and whether we can see accreditation for students for engaging in these issues, or perhaps even a wider whole school kind of record of achievement, kind of record to so that people can see what children have been engaged in. And I think it's not just important for these issues, but many children say to me, you know, what do you need more of? And they want more creativity. They want to be able to engage in more creative subjects. They want to have some more opportunities to involve in sport and some non-traditional academic subjects, which are equally important to their development as individuals. Yeah. And hopefully the new legislative requirement of that broadness and balance will create the space that we need for the very subjects that we've been talking about. And I think there's a real enthusiasm amongst children and young people to engage. And obviously, of course, the beauty of the new curriculum is that we don't have to have subjects in silos anymore. So one of our pioneer schools, Crickhowell High School, which is a school I know very well because it's in my constituency, they asked their year sevens what did they want their subject to be for the term. And the students chose plastic waste. And you might think to yourself, how on earth can we teach, I don't know, Welsh through the medium of the subject of plastic waste? But actually, in that community, there is a plastic-free shop. But the shop is completely monolingual. None of their advertising, none of their labelling, their website, none of their marketing material was through the medium of Welsh. And the Year 7 Welsh teacher, they did a complete rebranding, a bilingual exercise to help that shop. And that's how they engage not only in the subject of Welsh, but they engage in the subject of plastic waste through that medium. The textiles and art department made amazing sculptures and pieces of clothing out of plastic waste. The geography teacher took an island off the coast of Denmark that has been plastic free for years. And so that's how you can bring that entire subject, but you can talk about it and deliver lessons in every other part of the curriculum. So we don't need to teach in silos anymore, and we can engage in these issues in global citizenship through every aspect of our curriculum. And the text that we choose, in the periods of history that we study, in the art that we design, in the dramas that we produce, we can learn about these issues.
Thank you. It's really inspiring to hear these things. One of the things I love about working with young people is that they always just have this amazing drive, don't they? It's we've got such huge problems on our horizon, and then so it's all right. We have some amazing people coming along to tackle it.
We certainly do. And the most progressive education systems across the world are really looking at how we can engage children and young people in designing that curriculum. Because if we give children a voice in designing their curriculum, they will be much more engaged in learning and much more engaged in their learning if we're brave enough to give them a little bit more say in actually the curriculum within their schools.
Thank you very much.